Welcome to Right Here in Mass. We're a weekly podcast that features individuals throughout the Bay State who are on our radar and should be on yours. From the Berkshires to Boston, Cape Cod and the Islands, tune in to learn about who you should know right here in Mass. Happy Thursday, Right Here in Mass listeners. This week's guest is Dan Fantasia. Dan has been in the field of sales recruiting since 1997 and founded Treeline in 2001. His exclusive focus on helping companies build world-class elite sales teams has helped to change the lives of over 3,300 sales professionals. Dan has built a deep knowledge of what it takes to build and grow a top-producing business. As a proven sales leader and innovator, Dan has created a positively charged culture that promotes the good in every person, resulting in a team that has developed best-in-practice methodologies and technology that continues to revolutionize the industry. Dan, thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Yeah, very nicely done. Thank you for the introduction.
It was a nice bio to read. You've done a lot. So let's start off with having you share to our listeners more about you and what you do.
So I work, the company's name is Treeline Incorporated. We are a recruiting firm. And what we do, or what we've done for the past 22 years, is help advance the careers of sales professionals across the United States. We've had a tremendous amount of success. We've been a best places to work in Boston, I think, for 10 years, usually ranked between number one, two, or three, nationally by Inc. magazine as one of the best places to work. And we've seen a lot of growth. You know, with our niche, we do a really good job at helping people figure out their strengths, their story, and help guide them to opportunities that add value to their career.
I love that. One thing that I didn't read in your bio that I know that you had included that will be in our show notes is that you started Treeline right after 9/11. So I'd love to hear what prompted that and how it helped to kind of influence the company that you've built today.
Yeah, well, actually, we started in March, so just before 9/11. We started 6 months before September 11th. And what can I say? It was a challenging time to get started, but 9/11, while difficult, it was really hard just to get started. You know, just to start a company. I mean, the name of the company is Treeline, right? It doesn't even sound like a recruiting firm, right? It sounds like a tree company. And so, you know, getting started was probably just the hardest part. So I was faced with just a lot of challenges. And of course, September 11th didn't help. But what it did do for us is, or for me at the time, because I was by myself, I think I actually hired my first employee just before September 11th. But what it did for us is it really helped us focus on our priorities. Making it through that time gave us a lot of belief that we could do it, that we could make it happen. And like anyone in a job search, there's plenty of doubt to go around. And I was starting a young family. And I just had to make it happen. And so there were so many things happening to so many people at that time that I figured, as challenging as it seemed to be starting a business, there were lots of people that had greater challenges to overcome after September 11th. And from that time on, you know, we've just been in growth mode.
I don't know. Amazing. And I know that Treeline focuses or specializes in specifically building high quality sales teams. What made you want to focus on sales positions specifically?
The people, salespeople are really, they're great people to work with. They're outgoing, they're dynamic, they're energized, they're competitive, they have urgency. They're really nice people to work with. They want to talk with you. They want to understand and build their story. They're incredibly professional and articulate. They're intelligent. It's a great industry. It's really a great industry to be part of.
And I can imagine that within that industry, there's probably a lot of growth opportunities for these professionals. And they're also probably highly motivated for the positions that have some type of commission tied to it.
That's right. Yeah. Most of our opportunities are, it's the base salary is half of what the total compensation plan is. So the base salary is, you know, X, and then their variable compensation is usually, you know, double X. So that's usually how it works. The real challenge with sales is, first of all, it has, you know, many people think of sales as a career that is built around, you know, forcing someone to purchase something they don't want. And that's not the market we're in. So we are in the B2B market. It's very professional. And what sales really is about is understanding and asking questions around a prospect's needs, and then trying to, you know, satisfy or fulfill that need. And if you can't, then you can't, you move on. And if you can, then you offer them a solution that can help. And so, you know, finding individuals that have that kind of mindset and personality is really cool. They're great people. They ask good questions. They communicate well. And so it makes it a really fun network to be part of.
Absolutely. And it reminds me of one of my favorite phrases to remember in business, which is selling is serving.
Yeah. Yeah. It's yes. Yeah. Yeah. Very good. The challenge is again, it's getting people into the field. I mean, I think that's one of the biggest challenges. So we work, you know, hard to introduce and help, you know, people early in their career figure out if sales is of interest to them, and then how to get into it and what it requires. And then it's, you know, it's keeping people in our field so they can continue to grow both professionally as well as financially, and advance their career into larger and better positions. And we've been doing this for 22 years. So we've helped, you know, as you mentioned, over 3,300 individuals, you know, change their lives. And that is a really nice feeling, Ashley.
Yeah, I can imagine it's probably very gratifying to not only help your clients, the companies, be able to find the right fit for their open positions, but also help the candidates and the highly talented individuals that come to you find a career that feels exciting to them.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so true. I wish I had someone like me when I graduated college or when I was early, actually all the way through my career. You know, many times people come to us and they're just confused as to what they want to do next. And maybe they want to pivot, maybe they want to change, but where we add value is where, you know, again, we've been doing this for so long. We're so well connected. We can help individuals identify and understand what industries are good for them, what the compensation is in particular industries, why it may or may not be a good fit for them. And many times we'll introduce them to companies they've never heard of. They just have no access to. So it really helps open their eyes to different options that they just don't have on their own.
Right. And with that, what would you say is the benefit, in addition to what you've shared, the benefit of someone working with a recruiter if they might not know what they're interested in, where maybe if they want to pursue a new industry or want to get out of the one that they're currently in, how can working with a recruiting agency help support that?
Well, so the number one is the first thing I'd recommend is finding a firm that is just a really good quality firm, right? We have like almost no turnover. When we help an individual find a new opportunity there, it's a good fit, right? The only way it's not a good fit is if someone was deceptive, but that doesn't happen. Like, we're trying to help figure out and find the right fit for you, a company where you can sustain a career, be happy, be successful, and basically grow. So if you can find a good search firm, they'll help you. I mean, they'll listen to your story. They'll help you understand and articulate your story, because a lot of things that you may tell, for example, when I sit down and interview a person, there are a lot of strengths in their background that's not on their resume, but it's that you find out by asking them questions. And then you leverage and use those strengths to help tell their story. And they look back and they realize, wow, the way you just recapped my background is so impressive. I can't believe that's me. And then you say, of course, well, that is you. And this is, that's likely, we recommend how you present yourself because that's how strong you are in today's market. Mm. And so then once they understand their story, they can talk about opportunities or not opportunities. They can talk about what's, what motivates them, what's important to them, compensation, location, virtual, remote, in office, all of those things. Once we understand that, now we are searching for opportunities that meet those requirements. And when we're telling you about an opportunity that meets those requirements, it meets the requirements. So the compensation, the travel, everything is met. So the question then is, do they want, is the country, the company of interest to them or not? And then we fast track the process, right? There's no confusion. Everyone's on the same page. We help move the process and set up interviews and get feedback. Where when you're doing it on your own, as you're applying to jobs, sometimes companies never get back to you. You don't understand why you're a good fit or a bad fit. You don't understand what the job really is. And so you're kind of going in blind, and you're blind throughout the entire process to the very end. When you work with us, you know everything. It's fully transparent from the second we start talking about an opportunity until whether you decide to accept an offer or not.
Mm. That's amazing. And it sounds very holistic, where it covers all parts of the job search process and being able to find a position that ends up being the right fit, but having a partner by your side to support you through that.
Yeah. And you know what? It takes, well, the ultimate is to have plenty of time to find a role, right? If you're in a position and you're considering options, you want to have, a long runway. And that way you can be selective, you can take your time, you can find an opportunity that's a good fit. When you get to us because there's been a riff or you've decided to leave or what have you, you have less flexibility, you're in more of a rush, and emotionally you make a decision based on need instead of like want, right? You have to make a decision, and so you move more quickly. Where the ultimate time to get to us, the ultimate time to build a relationship with someone on our team is earlier on, so that you have time to find an opportunity that makes sense. And as we introduce you to different opportunities, it's all confidential. So if it's not of interest to you, no one knows. And if the company that I tell you about and the website you visit and the job description makes sense, then we'll do everything in our power to get your foot in the door.
Wonderful. And throughout the past 22-ish years of having Treeline, you've built up quite a robust book of business ultimately between the clients that you've worked with and the 3,300 plus professionals that you have helped. So what was that process like of just truly building up your clientele and the individuals that you support?
Slow. we're not VC backed, or, you know, we have no funding. And one of our core values is do what's right. And so when you do what's right, and it's not about just making placements, it's about helping people find a great opportunity and helping a company find a great fit, a great employee, that takes time. And it also means that when you're introducing companies and candidates, you know, there's no bias. If it's not a good fit, then we don't recommend taking the job, or we don't recommend making a hire, right? That decision is not ours. But we're trying to find a good fit. And the reason why we're trying to find a good fit is because if you're in our business and you're doing it for the right reasons, then you want to feel good about helping someone find a new opportunity. You know what you don't want, Ashley? You don't want to find out that you talked to an individual, you disrupted their career, you helped them find a new opportunity, and 6 months later, they're unhappy and it didn't work out. Right. That is the worst feeling in the world. It's like you have this empty pit in your stomach. The person's unhappy. The company's unhappy. You feel horrible. And so for us, because that feeling is so bad, we focus on making sure that it's a good match, because you never want that feeling. You don't want to live with regrets. Now, some other search firms may not care. Maybe all they want to do is make placements, but, we've been around, we're a long-standing brand. We've been around for 22 years. And little by little, as you make clients happy and candidates happy, and it starts off with that first candidate and that first client, one by one, if you keep doing a good job and you're authentic and help people find a really good match, then they will move on to another company and bring you with them, and they will recommend you to friends and family. And while it's slow, it didn't matter to us, but while it's slow, it's really effective because you build these long-term relationships.
Right. And I always say that referrals are the best compliments. So like you said, when a candidate moves on to a bigger opportunity, they'll take you with them, or referring them to their friends and family who might be looking for positions. That's really wonderful because it provides that credibility right up front by someone receiving some recommendation from someone that they trust.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so true. It's like, when friends and family are referred to us, you know, it's just that our network just gets stronger and stronger.
Absolutely. And with recruiting firms and recruiters themselves focus a lot on LinkedIn. So could you talk about how people who are searching for new positions can leverage the platform in order to make it work for them and potentially help them find their next position?
Oh, I love that. That's a good question. That's valuable. The first thing I'd say is make sure there's a photo on your LinkedIn. Make sure that your header is, you know, whatever you have, something that's of interest to you or importance or what have you. Make sure your title is not a crazy title that you've been given. So in other words, if you're looking for a sales representative, use a popular keyword, right? Mm. If your title is some crazy title that no one's familiar with, and half the time people have to ask you what you do, then change it to account executive or sales representative or enterprise account, whatever it is, something where the keyword is high, because when people are searching, they're going to search for certain generic keywords. Mm-hmm. And if your title is not one of them, it's really hard to get found. You know what I mean? And then just make sure that the jobs that you've worked at or your employment history is accurate, your degree and things of that nature. And then what I would also do is make sure you use it, like and share and connect with people. That is critical. Lastly, if you're in an active job search, it's my recommendation that you, as you search for and find companies, find the people that have maybe posted a job, or find who you think would be the decision maker of any particular opportunity that you'd be interested in, and then connect with them, and then use LinkedIn as like a marketing tool to see who views your profile. So as you're connecting with people, who's viewing your profile, who's connecting back. And once they connect back, of course, send an email introducing yourself, telling them how impressed you are with their company or something that you've seen in their background, connect with them, engage with them. And then once you do that, you'll start building your own little network and like outreach type of program to connect with the right individuals and decision makers and get in front of companies and individuals that could be a good fit for your career.
That's all great advice. One question that I have about LinkedIn, because it's come up specifically with a few friends I have who are job searching, is the open to work feature. And so one friend that I have currently is very worried about turning it on because she's worried about someone seeing that she's open to work and getting word back to her boss or whatever have you. So she's a little bit hesitant to use that. Could you talk about that feature and if it's actually a good tool to use on LinkedIn for folks who might be looking for a new position?
If I were employed and looking for a new position, I wouldn't turn it on. Mm. I wouldn't. My team's doing search, and we do searches, we use a lot of different tools. But anyway, when we're searching on LinkedIn, you could search for open for work. And many times we don't. Mm. Right. I mean, many times it's not necessarily something we consider a strength. We don't know, but we don't care if you have open to work or not on your profile. We are likely going to reach out to you based on your background.
Yeah.
The most important thing is, can we find you? And if the title is, there are so many creative titles out there. If the title's off, we'll never find you. And then it's hard for us to reach out to you because we just don't find you, but we don't care if it says open to work or not. As a matter of fact, whether you're working or not, we're still going to introduce ourselves to you.
Yeah. And I think that's a great point, because just because someone isn't necessarily advertising that they're open to work, it doesn't necessarily mean that they wouldn't be interested in changing positions if the right one fell in their lap. So I guess to your point, it doesn't matter, because either way, there could be a good person that you reach out to help fill a role.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. If you were currently employed, I don't know. I mean, everyone's using LinkedIn. I would be a little bit concerned that someone might find that out.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And on the opposite end for LinkedIn, do you have recommendations on how companies who are looking to hire can leverage the platform?
Yeah, well, I think number one, you should be good at learning how to search, right? Yeah. I mean, number one, learn how to search. You can post jobs on LinkedIn. I mean, we post jobs all over the place, but I can tell you that most people that apply to our jobs are not not a perfect match or qualified, but because we have so many jobs, they may be a great fit for another opportunity. It's hard for us to tell, because until you have a conversation with a person, you really don't know anything about their background or their story. So we try not to guess. Instead, we try to set up time so we can, you know, consult and talk to people as much as possible to learn about their background, to understand why they're not working, why they are looking, what are the challenges, how do we address those challenges? Because one thing you need to understand is when you're interviewing, no matter how perfect your background is for any job, any specific job, there are always questions and concerns. I mean, that's almost every company, at least in our business, is going to have concerns, and they want to see how well you overcome them, right? So no one's ever perfect. A company's always going to have some kind of concern. And so it's really your ability to anticipate and understand what those concerns may be, how to address those concerns, make sure you have your talk track down, and you can tell your story, you know, effectively without creating additional concerns. So, yeah. You know, we're trying to figure out all those things. Companies, they need to learn how to search. The real challenge for companies is it's bandwidth, right, Ashley? It's like,
yeah.
Do you have the bandwidth to spend the time to find the right person? Because of the hundreds of emails that go out, there's only a few that come back in response, right? So you need to have the time, and that's what we bring to companies, right? We that's all we do. We only focus on finding top producing sales professionals for your organization. So if you're looking, most of the time what happens to companies is they just don't see enough people. They don't meet enough people. And so they really can't make a great hiring decision because they just don't have the resources to introduce them to the best in their field.
Yes. And that makes me think of the question, what's the benefits of working with a search firm like Treeline with the HR department at a company? How can you provide additional support and benefits and complement the work that someone within HR might already be doing?
Yeah, that's another really good question. Well, if your HR team is finding excellent candidates, there's no need to use us. If you're struggling to find good candidates, as a matter of fact, if you're struggling to find good candidates that are in sales, you can call me and I'll help brainstorm with you. You still don't need to buy our services. I mean, most of our searches are contingent. So that means that companies don't pay anything to use us unless we help them hire somebody. Mm-hmm. And for candidates, it costs them nothing. And so for us, we spend a lot of time qualifying our clients to make sure that they're real and they really want to hire, because when we work on a search, almost all of our searches are filled within 30 days. I mean, that's how fast we move. That's how we've been doing this for so long. We have a really good system. We have technology to help our clients understand a candidate's background. And it also helps promote each and every one of our candidates. So usually if you're an HR team, if you have the resources And then hopefully they're bringing you the right candidates. If they're not bringing you the right candidates, then the question you have to ask yourself is, what are they doing and what is their process? If they're just not capable and don't understand how to recruit salespeople, which many companies struggle to understand, then we're a wonderful resource because you could use our company at no cost. If our candidates, if we can't produce a more qualified candidate for your position or more qualified than what your team is finding, don't hire them, don't interview them. But if you realize that by working with us, we are just a wonderful resource and additional service for your team to leverage to find really strong talent, then use us, because if our candidates are better, you don't pay unless you hire someone. You might as well try and see, if we can produce or not.
Absolutely. And that's great to know that if companies need more time or they just don't have the networks necessarily that a search firm like Treeline does, they know that they have a partner by their side who can help them execute on what they're looking for.
Yeah, even if it's just for their toughest search, we're just an extension of their team. So the teams that work the best with us, the talent acquisition or the HR teams, they actually are just really good partners of ours. We work really hard together. We work to find, really strong talent. And then we work with them to help move the candidates through the process. So they're not intimidated by us, but if anything, they recognize the value we add. We're all in it together, working really hard to make sure that they can really find the right people for their roles.
Absolutely. And one question I want to ask you about is building out attractive job descriptions. This made me think of this because with the nonprofit that I work with or volunteer with on the board, they're struggling to hire people for certain positions because of the fact that they're a nonprofit. So they can't necessarily compete against for-profit organizations for the same position. So they're losing out on candidates. And so what recommendations do you have for organizations in that sense who really need the high quality talent, but just can't necessarily offer the compensation that for-profit or other organizations are able to offer?
Okay. So the first question I was going to ask you before I answered that was why, what is their struggle? Is it compensation? What is it? But it sounds like based on what you're saying is they're struggling to attract the talent because of compensation.
Yes.
Okay. And the first thing I'd say is, I'm not going to say right or wrong, but the first thing I would say is, compensation can be a challenge for certain, but usually what that means is that your conversion rate is lower. So because your conversion rate based on your opportunity and compensation plan is lower, it means that you need to reach out to more people. And most likely the reason why the team is not finding great success is because they're not connecting with enough people. Because there are people that will be very interested in the mission of the nonprofit, and it's more important to them than the compensation. The downside is if they don't have a strategy or an aggressive outreach plan, and that's what it will take, Ashley, because if someone's not working incredibly hard to find this talent, you won't find it. You'll get people that can afford the job, but they're probably not qualified for the job.
Right.
And so when we look at a search like this, we know the conversion rate's going to be really low.
This episode of Right Here in Mass is brought to you by Melissa J. Pond, LLC. Is your mission-driven organization struggling to secure funding or communicate your strategy effectively? Meet Melissa J. Pond, LLC, an expert in grant writing, strategic planning, and visual storytelling with over 15 years of experience in the nonprofit and government sectors. Recognized with multiple professional awards, Melissa can help create lasting change and improve the lives of those you serve. Connect with her today at melissajpond.com to see how she can add value to your organization. That's melissajpond.com.
If our conversion rate is low, what we realize is that it's just going to take that much more outreach to find the right individuals for a company. So instead of reaching out to 100, maybe you need to reach out to 200 or 300 or 500. And that's where companies struggle because they might not have the resources to handle that much volume to find the right individual.
So I think that's great advice that you shared about just widening the pool of individuals that you're looking to perhaps recruit and bring in to apply for the position. So that way you can find people who care really strongly about the mission and not so much about the compensation.
Right. Yeah. It's additional effort. And so the question is, do you have the staff that can handle the amount of outreach required, or do you need to consider external resources to help with it?
Right. Absolutely. And so Dan and I actually met for our listeners. We met because I wrote a blog post for Massachusetts Business Network for advice on individuals who have been laid off, because there have been a ton of layoffs, specifically in the tech industries with well-known companies over the past few months. And so Dan, you shared amazing advice in that blog post for people who might be in that position. And so I'd love if you could repeat it, or maybe even have new advice to share for individuals who need to move forward and just aren't sure where to start once they get laid off.
Yeah, I think the first thing I would say is that there's lots of highs and lows in a job search. So if you're considering a new opportunity, do not let the lows consume you. It is just part of the process. You're talented enough. You're capable. You can find an opportunity. It just might take a little bit of time. So that's number one. Number two is, then I would keep your search incredibly simple. And so don't think about the conclusion to the search and, you know, getting your next job. Instead, think of the activity that's required to find your next job, and keep it super simple. So in other words, maybe every day you focus on finding 5 new companies that are in your particular geography, in the industry you're looking for, and that you find interesting. Or maybe you don't find them exactly interesting, but you see that they're, you know, one of Massachusetts Fast 50 or one of the best places to work. However you want to build out your search and however you want to search and find these companies is fine. The idea is that every day, just take it day by day, you know, find 5 companies. Of those five companies, find 3 individuals in those companies that you think could potentially be a good fit to connect with. Maybe the manager of your type of division, or what industry or market you're working in, maybe a talent acquisition person, maybe an HR person, what have you, and start connecting with individuals day by day. So if you find 5 jobs and you find 3 people in each one of those companies, that's 15 people. If you can repeat that day after day, slowly, little by little, without any highs or lows, the emotional roller coaster ride in a job search, you will find that people connect to you. And as people connect to you, you'll respond, you'll build relationships, you'll ask them about opportunities, and then you'll start to build a pipeline. And while that pipeline is being built, you just make sure you continue every single day to follow the basic routine and activities that are required for you to be successful. And then by the end of your first month, you will have that many more people as connections on LinkedIn. You will have that many more conversations. You'll be that much closer to understanding what companies are a good fit for you. And likely you'll find yourself in a few opportunities where there's offers. Now the question is, are they the right offers or not? But as long as you just don't focus on the job, focus on the activity, the simple basics, have confidence in your ability, and keep talking to lots of people, because that's ultimately how you're going to build a pipeline to find a new opportunity.
I love that. And do you have like an organizational system that you recommend people follow to keep track of all of these people that they're connecting with? Or is it just kind of keeping them all in that LinkedIn hub?
Oh, I love, that's a really good question. You know why that's such a good question? Because, with early stage salespeople, they could do a ton of outreach, but there's no way to organize or track it. And so right. All that work they do actually is kind of lost without a CRM system or a database or something of that nature. And so the reason why that's such a good question is because you're right. You could reach out. And then if you reach out and do nothing after, the people just kind of you're doing it with no organization and no follow-up and no next steps. And so, you know, there is no great way to move forward. Right. Mm-hmm. I would definitely use LinkedIn, of course, because every time you send an invite, and I'm not sure how comfortable your listeners are to LinkedIn, but every time you send a LinkedIn invite, you can check on that. You can see who connects with you and, you know, how to move forward in the process. What I would recommend, if you don't have a CRM system or something, at least create an Excel spreadsheet, at least at the bare minimum, and track the company, the contact, their title, their email. Well, if they connected or didn't connect with you. And then once they connect with you, get their email address. And then past that, did you get, were there interest, no interest? And then first interview, second interview, first, second, and third interview. And then as you start to track those individuals, you'll find that one out of, maybe it's one out of 20, one out of 20 people you connect with, send back a connection and it's positive. And then you realize, okay, so one out of 20 is positive. That means that every time I send out 20 connections, I get one back that, you know, that moves forward to the next step. So every 20. So that means maybe you do 20 a week, maybe you do 20 a day, but at least you're starting to track who you're following up with, if you're connecting with them. If they're not connecting with them, you're sending messages, so on and so forth. Once they have connected with you, you're moving them into the pipeline, you're emailing them, you're getting now all their contact information, and you're moving to hopefully push for a close or an offer or what have you.
Yeah, perfect advice. That way it just makes it easy for people to have all in one spot who they've connected with, notes about the conversation, and just an overall system for keeping track of what's been happening.
Yeah, you definitely need a system. You definitely need to be organized, or you have no idea who you're talking to or reaching out to or what your strategy really is.
Absolutely. And I'd love to shift gears a little bit now to focus on you specifically, Dan. And I'd love to hear what made you want to get into recruiting in the first place before you ended up starting Treeline.
Well, I didn't want to get into it. I just fell into it. it just happened, you know.
When I graduated high school, when I graduated college, a friend and I built some beds in the back of an old 1978 Ford van, and we traveled the country. We became ski bums in Wyoming. And wow, had a wonderful,
that's a lot yeah,
wonderful,
of fun.
Wonderful. Well, it was wonderful. It really helped me kind of, figure out, a whole bunch of things, adversity and what have you, just how are you going to survive. When I came back, I had a somewhat of a architectural degree. So I joined this a particular organization. I had a lot of success in that company, and I decided it was time for me to leave. When I left, I went to a search firm, and it was a sales recruiting firm. And I was considering a bunch of opportunities, and they said, well, before you consider anything, why don't you consider our firm? And I was like, well, I don't even, what is recruiting? You know, it was 100% commission. It was a draw, but I loved the company. I loved the culture. It seemed like a good fit. So I joined that organization, and I was really bad at recruiting. I mean, I was naive, and I had no leadership, and I was just bad at it. Actually, I really was bad. I think I was the worst producer. But I got it. I was determined. I figured out how to do it. And quickly, I became very successful. I became the number one producer, and I became the youngest managing partner. And I had a lot of great success. I left because the environment was changing. Mm. It was time for me to move on. One of my the CEO became one of my really good friends. I left. I started Treeline. I had a non-compete, a one-year non-compete. I honored it for like 3 years. I told the CEO and the other managing partners that I wouldn't compete with them. So I left, and I started to focus in the pharmaceutical market, pharmaceutical sales, actually. And, September 11th and what have you, it was some slow going there for a while, but I just kept my head down, focused on, my values and doing a good job, and the company slowly started to grow, and now we've been in business for 22 years.
I love that. For our listeners, because I know that we in our Massachusetts Business Network do have some recruiting firms, for anyone who's looking to get into the industry, what would you recommend for them for some advice?
Well, I would definitely start to reach out to as many firms as they can to, you know, learn about the different cultures and the different organizations, because there's so many different companies. They do lots of different things. They recruit in very, you know, very different industries. So that's number one. Number two is if you're serious about it, I would want to understand what's good about it and what's bad about it. Because the industry in general, it's hard. It's a hard business. It really is. And the reason why it's a hard business is because to ramp up in this industry, there are so many variables because we work with people, right? So there's so many variables. There's a lot of things that are unpredictable. And so if you are not the type of person that can work in an environment that is unpredictable, it is really hard to find success. If you are a really positive person, you're good with people, and you're comfortable with those, you know, that the unpredictability of people, but you just enjoy people and you want to help, then it could be a really good industry, as long as you're aware of, you know, how hard it is. It's very difficult.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you find that once you put in a lot of hard work and effort in the first few years that it kind of just continued to grow on its own? Or do you still feel like you put in a lot of input now in order to get the output that you're getting?
Well, you definitely do. Once you get into the business, you're going to have to work really hard because you're still trying to meet so many people. People just don't know who you are.
Right.
And you would hope that it just kind of glides through, but you're constantly searching for, you know, great candidates to connect with, because, you know, it's all dependent upon what our companies and clients' needs are. And so as many people as you may know, you still have to be very good at finding and connecting with individuals, understanding their background, consulting with them on their careers, understanding what they're looking for, and then searching and finding an opportunity that meets those needs. And mm-hmm. So that could happen in 30 days, that could happen in a year, but it just takes time and patience to learn this business and to get good at it.
Great advice. And I can imagine that working with so many companies, it might be hard for you to choose a few for this question, but what are your favorite local businesses to support?
When I think of local business, I think of like my town. And so when I think of local businesses, I think of right off the bat, I think of restaurants. there's a great rib place close by called the Horseshoe Grill, which is really cool. And a place in town here, and I live in Reading, a place called Public Kitchen or Tono's or the Gyro Spot. I mean, there's just so many cool little restaurants and pubs around that it's nice to support small businesses in this area.
Yeah, I love that. Dan, this has been such an awesome episode, and I've really enjoyed learning everything that you're doing with your search firm and all the advice that you gave for both companies and candidates. And I'd love if you could share with our listeners where they can find you online in case they'd like to connect with you further.
Totally. I mean, you can always go, to our website, which is Treeline Inc. So that's INC, treelineinc.com. Or you could email me directly. You could find me on LinkedIn. It's dan.fantasia. Or just email me. My email address is fantasia@treelineinc.com. I'm always happy to help out however I can.
I love that. And I will make sure to include links to all of those places in the show notes so that way our listeners can click through from there. But thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Right Here in Mass. We hope you enjoyed listening to it as much as we enjoyed recording it. Be sure to subscribe, leave a review, follow us on social media, and share our podcast with your network. See you next week.